Well, I've been here about 12, 13 years. And before it was Polyester Books. It was started off as, well, Disc Spinners Records, and then Polyester Records. And in those days, actually, this was a really kind of daggy sort of street, you know, lots of secondhand stores and kind of manufacturing and things, you know. There wasn't the coffee culture here in those days, and it was, people really didn't come down here much, you know, and it was like, it was sort of a bit hard for us, you know. But then it started suddenly sort of kind of got a bit kind of trendy after a couple of years, you know.
What do you think kicked it off? What changed?
Because it was an interesting kind of street. It was, you know, like bohemian and, yeah, sort of interesting sort of arty sort of people, you know. So I think people like to be around that sort of scene, you know.
Do you think the changes on Lygon Street may have influenced the
I think
flow,
because that, yeah, in the old days, you know, in the sort of 70s, I guess, yeah, Lygon Street was kind of that sort of scene. And then that went kind of upmarket and sort of got pretty boring. So, yeah, I guess then, you know, this was the next kind of street, you know. And but then that sort of, as it always happens, it sort of attracts money and people want to be involved here, and which forces rents up, which means the people are originally here, like basically living above their premises, selling weird stuff and having unusual, interesting businesses, art galleries, stuff like that, can't afford to be here anymore. And so then they go, and then it becomes like Northland, you know. I don't, like, you know, the last 12 months or so, what with 7-Eleven opening up the road and things like that, it's just like stuff you'd find anywhere, you know. Why come to Brunswick Street to go to a 7-Eleven sort of thing, you know, and a Blockbuster Video that's opening up the road, you know. So, yeah, no, it's, there doesn't seem to be any kind of idea or attitude of protecting that, or sort of, and encouraging that kind of, you know. I don't know, they never really, haven't really done that in Australia to the sort of, to the extent of, say, for instance, Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco, even though I imagine that is, well, I was there a few years ago, and it had changed, I imagine, from how it was in the heyday of the 60s. It still had that kind of vibe still, and it was still, you know, you saw shops and businesses and things there which weren't in other areas. Where in Australia, we just seem to have that homogenisation everywhere, you know. Well, I suppose there's homogenisation everywhere around the world, including America, but yeah, I seem to see more areas where it was distinct, much more distinct than here, than in Australia.
Have you noticed over the years, since the area has changed, that the type of people who come here have perhaps changed, that maybe as a result of that there has been some kind of impact on different types of people?
Certainly people who live here.
Curious, inquisitive.
Well, I think the thing is, when people live here, then I guess their friends come to visit them, and, you know, like, or, and they sort of hang out here because they live here, you know, or they, you know people here. So when those people go, you don't have that so much, and you just have people, you know, just coming in. Whereas I think in the earlier days, it wasn't so much people coming in, it was just because they lived here and they're around here, you know, and they'd go to the local coffee shops, you know. So if they no longer live here, then, you know, they don't go there, you know.
Why do people come to Polyester?
Because we're unique, and I guess we're the bastion of you know, outrageous literature and stuff, and yeah, the way we present our shop in our advertising is just a gung-ho way of doing it the way we want to do it. We don't get stuff, you know, don't get stuff, you know, about who we offend, really, you know. And I guess as more mainstream businesses settle, they tend to be really paranoid about offending anybody, so they wouldn't dare do anything out of the ordinary, you know. That's the nature of business. Business in general tends to be conservative. So, and yeah, we don't adhere to any of those ideas. So, you know, and people do say that, yeah, that they're really pleased pleased with what we present that you wouldn't find it anywhere, anywhere in the world perhaps, you know, and certainly not in, in Melbourne.
So did you find, as Brunswick Street was changing, that there's still a level of sort of healthy tolerance for what polyester is doing here?
Oh yeah, I think so. I think the thing is, I think there's more tolerance than in some ways than people like to believe. I think in general Australians are tolerant. It's just that I think our politicians aren't so tolerant. I mean, we get our customers. You look at them. A lot of them, you know, look very kind of straight, but they buy some fairly offbeat material. So basically, we're trying to be proactive as possible, and we had a design polyester raid design t-shirt competition. You know, we were raided just before Christmas by the police for selling unclassified material, and books about growing marijuana, and High Times magazine, and the Death Scenes books, and things like that. And we announced a polyester raid design a t-shirt competition, and the idea being that the winning design would be used as a t-shirt, as a fundraiser t-shirt. And we've had 40 designs submitted, and this Thursday at the Evelyn Hotel, we're displaying all the designs and announcing the winner.
Excellent.
So yeah, and then later on during the year, we're going to have a big benefit concert, hopefully at Festival Hall, with hopefully an audience of 5,000 people. With some of the biggest bands in the country, because then we can really truly fight a legal battle. We'll have the funds then to do it.
For sure. Do you find that as a result of polyester's presence here, that local publishers, like people who are producing content, zines and whatnot, have been more encouraged to produce consistently because there's an outlet for it?
Yeah, I think we are one of the few outlets for that material. You know, we don't have we don't censor anything, obviously, and people, whatever they want to do and bring it into the store and sell it, we'll sell it on their behalf, you know. And I like to think that we nurture that kind of talent. It's easier for people, for instance, to produce a fanzine than it is perhaps to put out a CD or something, you know. Within an afternoon, they can sort of have a finished product almost, they can bring it in and we'll sell it for them, you know, very low cost to them.
Excellent. Thank you. Great. Thanks, Paul.
The way it's going and everything, and I guess, it's sort of sad in that way. And, but, you know, I was here before. So it was not like, so it was down and it was up and then it was down again.
Yeah. It's very.
The
very
only thing is, one thing though, I'll tell you one thing, I actually didn't want to take this or not, but I'm a member of the Traders Association, and I had this idea that if every business was in the Traders Association, say we had 200 members, and we haven't at the moment, it just took on a new part-time coordinator, so hopefully things will improve. But if everyone who was in the organisation, the association, paid $10 a week, that would be $2,000 a week, all up. And with that money, you could just reserve any building, you know, like the best building, $2,000, you know, pretty good, you know, rent. And so if a good building came along, you could just grab it and say, yeah, it's a nice enough building, you know, you need something fairly big and two-story or something like that. And then say, okay, let's put to the vote, what do we want to do? What would attract people in, you know, and rather than just another store, you know, something which didn't necessarily, but if it just covered costs, that'd be great, you know. That's all you need to do, mate.
Well, there's talk of kind of shopping centre development just down the road here.
Yeah.
With a big Franklin's, eatery, mall, type of investment. There's a little article in the Metro last week. Yeah, something like $7 million has been put aside for developing the the little grocery store down there.
Yeah. I mean, the only good thing out of that, I guess, would be look at that park. Oh, it would have to have parking. And that would be because we got no parking here. Mm. Totally. Mm. You know, Smith Street's better because it's got Safeway and a bit of Oss Street parking. Mm. But Brunswick Street's I mean, that's where it's really kind of crippled it as well, you know. People tell me, I've been driving around trying to find somewhere to park and haven't found anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, they said, oh, I just kept going, you know. So, just sort of like you being really creative and saying, okay, well, if we had this really building and make it really experimental and stuff that is totally, truly unique, you know. No, it's a bit of a social experiment in some ways. But, that's a dream of mine, really, that if we got enough people in the Traders Association and then write an article for the... Because, you know, we've got this thing... I actually have to drop some of these off. We've got a meeting on Tuesday, tomorrow, and it's the newsletter, you know, saying, yeah, this person's... But I was thinking, oh, you know, if we had enough members, I could write a little piece for this, a future one, and say, okay, now we've got enough members... You know, who will want to put in $10 a week? Fuck all, you know, for business. You know. Because look, everyone's complaining, oh, business isn't as good as it used to be and all that. And it's like, look, what do you think the reason is? Because there's nothing unique here. You're going to have unique things, you know? Mm. So, you know, okay, let's find a building, wait till one comes available and grab it, you know? And then just pay $10 a week and we've got it for indefinitely, you know? Yeah. And then ask for submissions for ideas, you know, do whatever you like with it. You know, this cooperative that everyone would be part of.
That's a fantastic idea.
I mean, it's something I've never heard it done before, but it just seems, last year I thought of it and it came to me. I thought, shit, that's the thing to do, you know? Yeah. It really blew me out, you know? I thought, shit, we can... You know, we've got the power to do what we want because everyone's going, oh, you know, there's all this boring business. Everyone, even the boring businesses, are saying, well, it's only boring businesses, so no one wants to come down here, you know. So it's like, well, you know, how do we, encourage something interesting and then just ask for submissions and artists to do stuff. So all we need is enough. And now we do have a coordinator. We didn't have one before. That's her job. So, well, hopefully she's going to sign up shops and businesses off Brunswick Street to be members.
Cool.
Once we've got 200 before, I ain't 100, 200 in the US.
Right.
Yeah.
So, can I hang on to this? Do you want me to chop that bit out of the interview? Do you want me to chop that bit out of the interview?
Oh, were you taping then?
Yeah.
No.
Catching things at random.
Sure. I didn't know you were still taping. That seemed to be, everybody was talking. A few little businesses along here were actually moving to Smith Street because they thought that was a new happening thing. But then the junkies turned up and it seemed to... So a lot of Brunswick Street businesses perceived that Brunswick Street was becoming more yuppified, so to speak, and it looked like the bohemian centre had kind of moved to Smith Street, and so a lot of businesses moved there, but then it was very sudden, the area seemed to attract a lot of heroin users, and it was such a big thing that was really scaring people away and affecting business in such a major way. And businesses then closed down and moved away, like the Ayres Hyenas Gay Bookstore, which was down the road in Brunswick Street. They moved to Smith Street and then they closed their store down, so that's an interesting phenomenon, really.
Well, there are those two significantly large housing commission estates sort of flank either side of Smith Street.
Yeah.
One's just down the road here, and then the other one's down on the other side of Smith. There's clearly a sort of pathway of traffic between those two sort of centres. A friend of mine once commented that these places are great because it will keep Smith Street honest, which is kind of paradox in some way.
Yeah.
But there is it's like there is some sort of level of resistance in terms of the way commerce tends to work or has worked in this area.
Yeah. I mean, it is a paradox, you know, because I'm from England. I loved Soho, you know. Mm-hmm. I sort of ran away from home and went to London, and I just loved, you know, the hustle and the bustle and the scene, you know. That it wasn't this vanilla sort of planned, nice, safe environment. Part of me likes that danger, feeling of danger and. Mm. Yeah, it's sort of interesting, you know, and Times Square, I mean, I never really saw Times Square really when it was kind of considered dangerous and, you know, interesting, and then it got cleaned up and everything, and now it's, you know, safe and everything, but it's really boring, you know, but, you know, I would have loved to have been there in the heyday, you know, and I guess, I guess Smith Street isn't like that, you know, but it's a part of me, you know, because the other side of the coin is really bland, homogenised chain store where, you know, I'm sure there's no junkies and everything's really nice and safe, but it is bland and really boring, you know, so, you know, on the other hand, it's like, well, you know, part of me likes that, but, you know, and then it's like, being in business, is it good for business or is it bad for business, or you know, so there's a lot of, you know, paradoxes there, you know, it's not just black and white, and what makes an interesting area interesting, a bohemian, and then what makes it dangerous and go downhill, you know, there's a lot of mixtures of different things going on there, you know, there's no answer, really. There's no, you know, the way things are. Mm. An area just sort of happens organically, almost.
And if
Smith
Street goes, what's next?
Bendigo.